Okay, praise the Lord. We are One of Messiah congregation, and I just thank God we could be here for the Sabbath. It's been a little bit of a battle, but I just thank God. This technology, sometimes it doesn't go according to schedule, it doesn't go according to the plan, but we get it working. Praise the Lord. Go back to the top, please. We are One of Messiah congregation, Shabbat Shalom. Let's ask the Lord to bless and anoint this Sabbath reading. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for this Sabbath day. We thank you we could be here with our brothers and sisters and the brothers and sisters throughout the whole world. Wash us in thy holy blood of every stain, every blemish, every spot as we come before your throne today on your holy day. Teach us something new. We just thank and praise you. You're a God that's so near to us. We send down, Lord and God, we pray you'll send down healing from the kingdom of heaven on those that are sick and afflicted. Lord and God, you know all the ailments of the people. Lord, I pray, Lord and God, you'll give them shalom and peace on your holy day. Heal them in the mighty name of the Messiah. Bring people to salvation today, Lord. Lord and God, we pray you'll set the captive free. Open the eyes of the blind, spiritually and physically. Lord, we pray you'll open the ears of those that are deaf spiritually. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint this Sabbath day. We give you the glory and the praise in the mighty name of the Messiah, Mashiach, Yeshua. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise
the Lord. Praise Amen. And this is the Sabbath of the Lord, and today is December 29th, 2007. You know, I always talk about God's calendar a lot, and I'm sure you guys all know that by now, right? And God has his own calendar. I always try to make sure I bring this to your mind. We're now in the 10th month of God, still called Tevet. Today's the 18th day of the 10th month. And you could always find the month. It's in Esther chapter 2, verse 16. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into the his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month of Tevet, in the 7th year of his reign. So that's where it says that. Praise the Lord. So I bring this up every week because I try to drill this into everyone's mind. Why are we here today? Everyone should know. We're here today because it's the fourth commandment, and we're here today because God says to congregate together, you know, physically. If you can, of course. If you can't, you know, that's fine. We'll see you on the internet if you're in another state or wherever we can never reach you. Later on audio, pretty soon we'll have some videos on so you can actually see us, Lord willing. But anyway, we read from the Law and the Prophets every Sabbath, 60 times. If we're talking about just the Gospels and the letters, 60 times it says the word Sabbath in the Gospels and letters, which is, to me, I'm always shocked because no Protestant minister ever notices that. I mean, 60 times, that's, I don't know. Acts 13:13, Paul and his company were loose from Paphos. They came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Isn't that nice? That's what they did on the Sabbath. And after the reading of what? The Torah, the law is the Torah, and the Nevi'im is the prophets. The rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And here's, of course, Paul and his company. They're there keeping the Sabbath. And they went to read the Law and the Prophets. And you could read later on in this chapter, verse 27, for they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not. In other words, the rulers, the people that were in the synagogue, because they rejected the Messiah, Yeshua, when he was on the earth. They didn't even know him. They didn't relate him to the Hebrew Bible, the scriptures. They knew him not. And they didn't even know the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day. Every Sabbath day, these rulers went into the synagogue, read the same the scriptures that told all about the Messiah, but they didn't recognize him. They fulfilled in condemning him. They didn't even know it. They actually fulfilled the scriptures because they condemned the Messiah like it says they would. It says that the stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. And these builders are the Pharisees, the religious leaders at that time. It says, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them when? Next Sunday? No, next Sabbath day, the seventh day. It says, and the next seventh day, the Sabbath day, came almost the whole city. And that takes care of travel, so Judaism is wrong. The whole city came together to hear the word of God. Praise the Lord. And everyone is hungry for the word of God. Yes. And I thank God for everyone that's in our congregation. Praise the Lord. And, you know, I consider everyone here on Power Talk in our congregation one of Messiah. Acts 15:21, Moses of old had in every city them that preach him. So in every city, everybody was preaching Moses, which is the Torah, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Amen. And even Yeshua in Luke 4:16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Isn't that amazing? He had a childhood, well, we don't know nothing about too much. But one day we'll find out about his childhood. He was brought up there in Nazareth. And he had some customs where to go into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him, there it is, the prophet Isaiah. And that's where he read. And of course, I like reading these scriptures every week, because I know there's a lot of people who still don't get it, but Exodus 31:13, it says, speak thou also unto the children of Israel. And we're all the children of Israel. Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep. It's a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout the generations for a perpetual covenant. You know, I hear people constantly saying that, oh, that's just, God just made the seventh day for the children of Israel. But it always said that the stranger was allowed to come join the people of God, join the Israel of God, and keep the Sabbath. I mean, I've even heard this guy, Dr. Brown, telling people that the Gentiles don't have to keep the Sabbath because it was given to the Jews. And I've heard other, you know, professing people that believe in the Messiah, you know, like Zola Levitt, who's no longer alive. And so many people, children of God, and I can go on with naming names. I like naming names of people that tell people they don't have to keep the Sabbath. It's very scary because it's a commandment. It's a sign. Look at verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Praise the Lord. And of course, Ezekiel, here it is hundreds of years later from the book of Shemot, Exodus. Shemot means names, or the Greek word is Exodus, but in Hebrew it's Shemot, and the word Shema, you know, it means names. Shem is name. So Ezekiel says, 20 verse 12, moreover also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them. And that word Sabbaths, which is plural, is very important, because that means there's more than the seventh-day Sabbath. There's Sabbaths or Shabbat Shabbatons in the feast of the Lord that you need to learn. So I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify them. Hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. And this is why we're here today. We're hallowing the Sabbaths, and we're hallowing the weekly Sabbath. And, you know, I thank God we could be here. I thank God you're here, and I thank God for everyone on Power Talk that's here. And I just want, you know, the season is almost over, but, you know, tis the season. Tis the season. I am jolly because this is my time of the season, of the Gregorian season, to inform people about pagan feasts. And that may not be too joyful to other people, but, you know, yeah, I like to tell you all about Hanukkah, which is a very, it used to be scriptural, but now that there's no temple, you can't really do a dedication to the temple and celebrate like Yeshua did, because he went in Solomon's porch. But there's no more Solomon's porch. It was destroyed in 70 AD. Can't really celebrate that. And to prove there was a celebration, you read Ezra and Nehemiah. It says they had a big celebration. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I hate to be such a party, you know, person that puts away parties, but Christmas, that's pagan too. I mean, come on. Everyone should be able to read that and study about Christmas. It's so abundant now on the internet, you know, with Google and all these search engines. And, of course, you can always get Christmas Unwrapped. And we played it a few times at our congregation. That's from the History Channel. Also, Kwanzaa, that's another ridiculous thing. People just make up things to, I don't know, I guess just to party. What else do they do these things for? Let's party. Let's make up something else.
They don't have the Feast of God.
Of course, we have one of our spiritual hypotheses, which is an educated guess. This is a possibility when Yeshua was born. There's the link there. You can always go to that link, copy it and put it in your browser, and you could see that link. And then, of course, if you ever want to hear current news, there's so much news going on. You go to that link right there, put it in your browser, or go to my website and just click on it. Every time I go to the Israel newscast, and every time I don't know if you ever get a chance to watch the Israel news. I mean, just recently again, they want to give away hundreds of more prisoners of terrorists, just to show favor, you know, to the Fatah. Fatah were the first suicide bombers, but now Fatah is the better terrorist than Hamas. It's almost like, which terrorist do you like better? So America is giving millions of dollars to Fatah. Israel's giving millions of dollars. They gave away hundreds of prisoners. Israel gave away hundreds of prisoners. Israel can't get back one of the Israelis that was captured. Not even one soldier. But we gave away hundreds of terrorists. Is that cuckoo? In other words, the terrorists won't give up one soldier. So, I don't know. It makes me upset because when I watch the Israel news, you know, I want to go visit Israel this coming Pope Gregory year. And maybe whoever wants to go, we'll have to organize a group of people. If you want to come, let us know. Maybe we can organize a bunch of people that want to go to Israel this year in the coming 2008, of course, it's Gregorian year. And whoever wants to know, just let us know. We can all go together. And who knows? Maybe we'll have the Lord will prosper our journey. Well, who knows? It'll be exciting. I've been there already, so I know it's really exciting, but I want to go back. Anyway, we'll talk about that with everyone, whoever wants to go in our congregation and whoever wants to go. But anyway, I'm totally into informing you about the calendar. And this is just a small lesson I'm going to tell you today. I always talk about calendars, right? The calendar, when you wake up every morning and you look at the calendar to go to work or to school or whatever you're going, dentist, doctor, whatever you're going to do, that's called the Gregorian calendar. And it's the most widely used calendar in the world today. The whole world uses that. And that's just it is a reform of the Julian calendar. And if you want to, it was first proposed by a Calabrian doctor. Calabria is like somewhere close at the little foot of Italy, close to Sicily. And this guy Elias, I don't know how to say his name, he's the one who put it together. It was decreed by Pope Gregory the 13th, says, for whom it was named, on February 24th, 1582, by the Papal Bull. Papal Bull. This is a real Catholic thing. The Papal Bull, Inter Gravissimus. See that mass at the end? Yeah. Just like Christmas. Just to tell you, I don't want to leave you in the dark. The word bull comes from bulla, and there it is right there. It's a lump of clay molded around a cord and stamped with a seal. The whole idea, it's a seal, something that shows official, something official. And it says, when dry, the container cannot be violated without visible damage to the bulla. There it says, thereby ensuing the contents, ensuring, the contents remain tamper-proof until they reach their destination. A papal bull is a particular type of patent or charter issued by a pope. It is named after the bulla that was appended to the end to authenticate it. So just to show you, I mean, all those words, they're real Catholic. Even the word pope, the word pope there in Latin, it's papa. In Greek, it's the same thing, papas. But it means father. Just think of that. Look at this right here. Yeshua says in Matthew 23, he said, if you go to a messianic congregation and anyone's called rabbi, which you better not, here's a direct prohibition. Yeshua says in 23:8, be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and you're all brethren. And call no man pope, papa, father. For one is your father upon the earth. It says, call no man father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Amen. Right? So, but the Catholic Church went out of their way to use the word pope, which means father. Papa. Yeah. Boy, that's just like Judaism. They got everybody running around and being called rabbis. These are totally exactly the same. Judaism has the rabbis. Catholic Church has the fathers. Isn't that nutty? Very unscriptural. So the Julian calendar is the reform from the Roman calendar, which was introduced by, guess who Julian calendar was named after? Julius Caesar, right? Of course. And that was in 46 BC. That's before Messiah. And came into force about 45 BC. Now, the interesting thing about the Roman calendar before the Julian calendar, did you know the Roman calendar actually started at the same time that we do it, in March or April? I mean, around spring. They started their calendar around spring, just like we do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm going to explain to that in a few minutes, but of course, nowadays, with the Gregorian calendar, everything is so changed, they start their crazy new year in January, which is totally, even changed from the Roman calendar and the Julian calendar and, you know, the rest of the calendars. Anyway, having said all this Catholic stuff and having said all this, now to the point. Here's my point. Now, I want you to, I don't know if you have a calendar with you. You got a calendar on you? Okay. Look at your March 23rd, 2008 Sunday calendar, right? March 2008. Track with me. March 23rd, 2008. Traditionally, it's on there, it's called Easter, which is, or Resurrection Sunday. Now, I'm talking this coming 2008, you go to March, the 23rd day. Now, then you go a month later to April 20th, 2008, Sunday. Traditionally, it's called Passover, when the Lord dies. Well, what do you see wrong with these dates? I hope you see something wrong with them. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. This year on Pope Gregory's calendar, they have the Lord raising from the dead a month before he dies. In other words, it'd be like somebody raising from the dead today, but he dies next month. That's how crazy the Gregorian calendar is this year. If you have a calendar, I'll show you later. Does everybody see that on the internet?
Yep.
Everybody still hear me on the internet? Give me a one. Okay. So please, this is why I bring up God's calendar, is because the Gregorian calendar every few years goes cuckoo, goes crazy. Anyway, today's the 29th of 2007, and I already told you that's the 18th of the 10th month of God called Tevet, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, don't forget that. Esther 2:16. Okay. Anyway, in 3 days from now, it's going to be this thing called January 1st. And that's 2008, or everyone's going to be running around, of course, drunk or something, going, Happy New Year, right? Well, it's sad to say, there's nothing new about this. All the trees and plants, everything's frozen, dead. I mean, it's gone. It's winter, right? What's so new about stuff in January? God's new year is in Exodus chapter 12 during the Passover in the spring when everything is new again, coming back to life. And that's symbolic of the resurrection, your rebirth, you're being a new creature, a new person. It's symbolic of everything's new. And in spring, everything is new. So you read the whole thing in Exodus and you wonder, how many people do you know actually ever read Exodus chapter 12 and thought about God has a new year? We're so brainwashed here in America. Everyone is just brainwashed with this Pope Gregory New Year in January, and no one knows the truth. I mean, when you see me in April, I'm going to be going, Happy New Year. You know why? Because I'm going to look out the window, and I'm going to see the plants growing and the trees growing and the flowers and the birds singing. And you breathe out there and everything feels great. You feel it's new. I mean, it even feels good. But Pope Gregory, it's getting cold now. It's winter. You know, some cities are around the country here, frozen, ice, snow, people, having a hard time. Gas bills going up, electric bills. I mean, everything's bad. So I'm telling everybody, please read Exodus chapter 12 when you get a chance. Let's learn when God's new year is. And Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It is the first month of the year to you." So here we have the new year of God right there, Exodus chapter 12, verse 2. And it's during the Passover. Exodus chapter 13, verse 4, "This day came you out in the month Abib," or in Hebrew, it's Aviv, Ha'aviv. It's the newness of, it's talking about the barley, but it's the newness. That's what we're really talking about. But today the word Aviv is synonymous with spring. Have you ever heard of Tel Aviv? In Hebrew, that means hill of spring. So Aviv is spring, and God's new year is in the spring. But nobody knows that anymore. Nobody knows. That's been deleted. So, I do a lot of computer work during the week, and that word delete is so in my mind, and every time I hear it, I think of everything of God is deleted. It's gone. It's so deleted that nobody even knows that it ever existed in America, because it never was talked about. Even the founding fathers didn't even know about the New Year of God, or the Feast of the Lord, or the Sabbath. They were just Protestants. Now, don't forget, when you get home, get out your Gregorian calendar, go to 2008, go to March 23rd, which is symbolically, or traditionally, I should say, Resurrection Sunday, which is called Easter from Astarte, pagan gods, and then go to April 20th, which is 2008, is the Passover, when he dies. So the Gregorian calendar this year, the calendar that you have, in March they have Yeshua raising from the dead, and then the next month he's dying. That don't even make any sense. But anyway, I hate to trouble you with facts and figures, but I'm so tired of fairy tales and made-up stuff. That's why I love doing these kind of studies. So I hope everyone got that. Very good. Go tell all your Christian friends this, and go tell everybody. I showed this to some Christian pastors a couple of years ago when the calendar did this. They were shocked because I was telling them Happy New Year. It was April. And they were sort of smirking at me. And I said, wait a minute, pull out Exodus chapter 12. And then I showed them the calendar, and they were shocked. Then they thought, wow, my calendar is so messed up. But anyway, Exodus 12:26, it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what is this thing that's going on in Exodus chapter 12? I mean, what are we doing here? What is this service? That you may say it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and he delivered our houses. That's deliverance, boy. That is deliverance. He delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshiped. Praise the Lord. Every time I see that, I think of that. Go back up to that verse, please. When I read this story all the time about Exodus, and I read a lot of different passages, there's a little bit of a combination. I always see, I don't know why, I always see like the devil, which is like Pharaoh, like Egypt, which is our last life of sin, being delivered from our last life of sin, by God, being brought into the promised land or heaven in the future or New Jerusalem. Or I always see the same sort of the scenario. Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay. So my question to you is, go back up, please. No, down. My question is, which New Year sounds new to you? Pope Gregory's or God's? How about on the internet? Which New Year you guys like? Pope Gregory's or God's New Year? Pope Gregory's in winter or God's in the spring when everything is new? Okay, let's go with, we give everybody else a chance. Let's give God a chance and read his word and believe it. How's that sound? I mean, we give everyone a fair shake. Why don't we give God a chance? I mean, we're only going to meet him in the end. Anyway, so speaking about deliverance, here we have God. He says he came down to deliver them. And this is really important. So my question to everyone is, are you talking, preaching, or teaching about past and future deliverances of God? I mean, we're supposed to be reminding our children constantly about Pharaoh, who is the devil, that you're supposed to be fighting all the time, and Egypt, your past life, that you want to get people out of it, that God has deliverance for you in the heaven, the land of milk and honey. This is what we've been reading about, basically, in the last couple of Torah portions. So we just started reading Exodus again, and God, of course, it says Exodus 3:8, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. It's like being bound, by the devil, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land that flow with milk and honey, praise the Lord, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. God actually gave them other people's lands. What do you think of that? They didn't have to do any. They didn't have to do a lot. And we just read, so there's that big deliverance that we're reading about right now in the Torah portion. We read this last night. We're reading about, you know, Pharaoh and Moses, let my people go, and that whole scenario. But last few Torah portions, we read, of course, Genesis, how Joseph was delivered and how God delivered him. Same type of thing, you know. And Genesis 45:7, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Mm-hmm. And what I'm trying to do in my ministry or our ministry, I'm trying to preserve, or I should say resurrect, things that have been dead. In other words, the calendar of God, the feasts of the Lord. What are we really doing? I mean, there's people that still never heard about the Sabbath. There's many people still don't know about the feasts of the Lord or the holy days of God. All they know about is the holidays. They don't know the holy days. Isn't that sad? So we have to start teaching our children, and I pray God will open more doors for me to talk to the youth. I've been speaking to a lot of different young people, and I want to talk to more and more and more, because the young people are the ones that are going to, if the Lord tarries, they're the ones that are going to have to be around to keep the message going, right? So Psalm 18:50, great deliverances giveth God to his king, and he showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, to his seed forevermore. You ever feel like you need deliverance in your life of something? Deliverance of, I don't know, some spiritual thing or some physical thing or some ailment? Or we need deliverance sometimes from even physical enemies, you know? Not everyone loves us. Especially if you're doing what God says. I mean, you're not going to have that many friends because you're reproving the world of sin. When you reprove the world of sin, people are not going to like that because they love their sins. They do. Psalm 32:7, I love this. God, David says, thou art my hiding place. Isn't God your hiding place? You can run into God and hide from this world. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Mm-hmm. Selah means to think that over, meditate a little bit on that. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. That's really good. I love that. Songs of deliverance. Psalm 44:4, thou art my king, O God. Hallelujah. Command deliverances for Jacob. Jacob is Israel. Amen. And we're part of the Israel of God. We need deliverances. We need to all round up one day and go to Israel as the Israel of God and go there and show them what the Israel of God should be doing, making a stand for God. Who's on the Lord's side? Praise the Lord. This will be a wonderful thing. Joel 2:32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? Delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord had said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And there's so many aspects of deliverance. One of the deliverances I'm speaking about today also is being delivered from all pagan ism, being delivered from all these things that are not of God. You know, in other words, like flushing those out of our mind and putting God in your heart. Put God in your lives. You know what I mean? This is what we're supposed to be teaching everyone. Obadiah. Remember Obadiah? Ovadiah? Remember him? Let me finish Joel. So let me start from that verse again. 2:32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord had said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And I love being a part of the remnant of the people of God. Not the whole world is going to be doing this. Ovadiah chapter 1 verse 17. It says, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Praise the Lord. This is really important. You know, this deliverance, you need to teach and profess and preach your deliverance in your life too. What I mean is not just deliverance from physical enemies, but from spiritual principalities and powers, from strongholds of Satan. In other words, also making straight the way of the Lord is making people being delivered out of darkness. In other words, you know, everyone's doing all these pagan holidays and pagan feasts and pagan everything. Give them some kind of deliverance. You're in so many words, a deliverer, like a rescuer. And you, everyone here has the ability to go try to bring truth to the world, right? Mm-hmm. Just think, in your circle of people that you know, you might be the only light. And if you don't tell anyone, they'll never know, but their blood of their soul will be on your hands. Because God has you right in the midst of them, and you're not telling them nothing. You let them get away with everything. So be bold. Anyway, Yeshua taught deliverance. Luke 4:16. And there he goes. He comes to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And one day in eternity, we could find out what he did when he was being brought up. I'd like to know that. There's some false teachings out there, some false writings that they found, very, very horrible books that are written about his upbringing. It's very, very, I don't even want to go into them, like the Gospel of Thomas and the different Gospels that they found, which are very spurious and they're not scriptural. Anyway, but one day we'll find out his upbringing and his customs. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and he stood up to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So he's opening the book of Isaiah, right? And he's reading. Now listen to this. Tell me what you think of this. It says, the Spirit of the Lord. So we have the Spirit of the Lord. How many is that so far? Spirit and Lord. Of the Lord. That's two, right? And then he says, is upon me, which is the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me, the Messiah, to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me, the Messiah, to heal the brokenhearted. He had sent me, the Messiah, to preach deliverance to the captives. That's what we got to do too. And to recovering of sight to the blind. Most people are blind spiritually. They don't even know that anything about the calendar of God, the feast of the Lord. No, they don't know none of these things. So we want to do what the Messiah is doing, recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty. That means to set them free to those that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. And he looked, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. Right? He's in the synagogue. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Yeshua. And he began to say unto them, looked at everybody, and he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So he's opening their ears today. Praise the Lord. That scripture of Isaiah, which is like 500 or 600 years before Yeshua was on the earth, he's standing right in front of them, and he's reading right here, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, the Messiah, because the Lord had anointed me, the Messiah, to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me, the Messiah, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now, he said, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. The Messiah is sent to comfort all that mourn. Praise the Lord. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. What a trade is that? He's going to take away ashes and give you beauty. And the oil of joy he's going to give you and take away mourning. And the garment of praise, he's going to give you that and take away the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness. Praise the Lord. The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That's what we're going to, everything that we do, it's not for our glory. It's for his glory. And that they might build the old waste places. And this is what we're trying to do spiritually. Every time we get together, every time I'm together, I'm trying to build old waste places, old wastes. I want to build the ruins that have been destroyed spiritually. I want to establish the old path, the old paths of God, which is the old, is the olam, means the everlasting paths. They shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. And it says, they shall spare the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Think how many generations have gone by when nobody even knows the Sabbath. How many generations have gone by when nobody knows the feasts? I mean, the devil might hit you all day long, all week, saying, you're worth nothing. You're nothing. You're nothing. No, we're very important because we have the antidote against sin. We have the deliverance power God has given us to go deliver people from paganism, from falsities, from things that are not correct. We are more valuable than you think. That's why the devil hates us. If you don't hear at least once a week that you're useless, then the devil is not after you. You should hear that a lot. You're worthless. You're worthless. You're useless. You're just a nothing. You're just a nobody. Just go to sleep. No, that means you're something very valuable. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named, guess what? The Kohanim, the priests of the Lord. We're supposed to be kings and priests. And men shall call you the ministers of our God. And ye shall eat the riches of the nations, the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. Praise the Lord. For your shame ye shall have double. Amen. And for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Praise the Lord. For I, the Lord, love judgment. Do you love judgment? Mm-hmm. Judgment means you're going around making straight the way of the Lord. You're letting people know, hey, don't do that. There's a penalty mm-hmm. by God. Mm-hmm. I love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And it says, I will direct their work in truth. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord had blessed. Mm-hmm. Last week I talked about the holy seed. Remember that? The seed of Israel. And this is what I love, being part of the seed of God. It says, and verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he had clothed me with the garments of salvation. He had covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorned herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Praise the Lord. Now, I just wanted to touch upon this real quick for your information. Some people try to say the verses in Luke are not quoted exactly correct from the verses in Isaiah 61. Anti-missionaries say Luke changed the scripture. He did not, because Yeshua quoted the scriptures in the depths of the Word, because he is the Word. Where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, in Isaiah 61:1, because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, he had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. That word in Hebrew is, go up to the Hebrew, please. It says, pakak koak. Pakak koak. And what that means in Hebrew is literally the opening of the eyes. That's why in the book of Luke, he says he was going to open the eyes. It doesn't say that verbatim in Isaiah, but that word pakach koach, that means opening of the eyes. That's exactly what it means. And Yeshua knows Hebrew, of course, and he is the Word. He knows the depths of the Word. So basically, he's quoting exactly what it says. And you can go to some of the Hebrew lexicons. Pakach means to open, especially the eyes. You could check even your Strong's concordances and all that kind of stuff, and your DBD concordances. It means the same thing, opening of the eyes wide. Okay? So if you didn't understand that, please go back to that portion. We could talk about it later, but Luke is quoting Isaiah 61 correctly. That's why I wanted to make sure you knew it, that you know that, how to explain it. You can't see it in the actual English, but in the Hebrew, it's easy to understand. Anyway, getting back to deliverance, the Lord, in the Lord's Prayer, this prayer the Lord told us to pray, he talks about deliverance. He says, Matthew 6:8, be not ye therefore like unto these people that run around in the long robes and pray out loud everywhere and just make everyone see their prayers like they're so holy. He says, go in your closet when you pray. And you don't have to ask a million times. God knows what you need before you even ask him. Okay? He says, but be therefore, don't be like them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Praise the Lord. Says it right there. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. So Yeshua is telling us to pray like this. Our Father, Avinu, which art in heaven, B'mashamayim, yes, hallowed be thy name. Yes, praise the Lord. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. I thank God for the food, the spiritual manna that when we read the Word of God every day, God feeds us. He gives us what we need. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, right? We want to forgive everybody too, because if we don't forgive them, God ain't going to forgive us. And please, don't lead us into temptation. In other words, direct us away from any evil and deliver us from evil. So here's another deliverance. We want to be delivered from evil. I mean, God's not going to send you into temptation. We pray that he gets us away from any kind of evil and that's coming towards us. And deliver us from evil. Praise the Lord. For thine, God, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So that's a good prayer. That's a good prayer to pray. You know, I see many places in the scriptures, even Paul has different places of deliverances. And Paul is quite a brother. He says in Romans 11:26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer. So the Messiah is known as the Deliverer besides the Redeemer and the Moshiach, the Savior. He's the Deliverer, and it shall turn away ungodliness from Israel, from Jacob. He tells the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 9, 2 Corinthians. But we have a sentence, it says, but we have had the sentence of death in ourselves. Did you know that before you met the Lord, we had the sentence of death? Before you were forgiven, you have the sentence of death. That we should not trust in ourselves. You can't save yourself, could you? But God, it says, but in God, that's who we should trust in, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death. Do you realize God delivered us from eternal death, which is this everlasting fire that no one likes to talk about nowadays? He's delivered us from this such a great a death, and he doth deliver. And in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, even our lives. So Apostle Paul has many deliverances. Galatians 1:4, who the Messiah gave himself for our sins. That what? That he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Paul tells the Colossians in chapter 1:13, God who delivered us from the power of darkness, and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Amen. He is the perfect sacrifice, even the forgiveness of sins. That's all that's going to matter to you at the end, is the forgiveness of sins. And if you have the blood of the Messiah the prophecy that he is the Messiah and that his blood was the atonement, you have to read about that in Isaiah 53. It was foretold by Isaiah, and he was the propitiation. He is the propitiation for our sins. Paul tells the Thessalonians in chapter 1:10, we're supposed to wait for his Son from heaven. You know, the devil tries to make you sometimes to get like, when is he coming? What's going on? When's he coming? We're supposed to wait patiently. Patience is a virtue. We're supposed to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Yeshua, who delivered us from the wrath to come. So there is a wrath coming, which no one talks about anymore for some reason, but there is wrath coming. But the Messiah has delivered us from the wrath to come. Ah, 2 Thessalonians 3:2, and that he, it says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable men. You ever meet any unreasonable people in your life? Remember, all men have no, some of them don't have any faith. Some of them definitely don't believe this word of God. I want to be delivered from all unreasonable women too, and men. Wicked. Yes, wicked. They're wicked. Okay, praise the Lord. All men have not faith. Praise the Lord. And Paul told Timothy, there's going to be persecutions and afflictions which came unto Paul at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra, which persecutions Paul said he endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered him out of them all. Praise the Lord. So if you're looking for deliverance from anything, pray to God. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:17, deliver the, it says, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me. Everyone forsakes you when you serve the Lord. Your children forsake you, parents forsake you, relatives forsake you, friends forsake you. It says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the nations, all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and he will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And that's the way you got to believe. You got to have that kind of belief that God is always ready to deliver you. Now, here's Stephen's account of deliverance. Praise the Lord. Chapter 7, if you have your Bibles, we're going to read chapter 7, which is not a big chapter, but then the high priest, then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men and brethren and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and he said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. So don't think it's strange if God says, hey, get away from your family. Come out of that country. Leave that state. Come and join the people of God. It says, then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into his land, this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to a seed after him when he had no child. That's pretty hard to believe when you have no children, that, you know, there's all these people going to come after you and possess the land, right? You didn't have the land, you didn't have any children, you have nothing. It's just all by faith. God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage, and evil entreat them 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage, God says, will I judge, said God, and after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place. Praise the Lord. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision, and so Abraham begot Isaac, and circumcised him the 8th day. Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. And these patriarchs, these 12 tribes, the brothers, they moved with envy, and we all read this in the last few Torah portions. They sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions, right? God delivers him again, his deliverance. And God gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. How's that for deliverance? Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Charan and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first, and at the second time Joseph was made known unto his brethren. And we hope the second time when the Messiah comes back, that a lot of the Jews will wake up and see him too. Anyway, a lot of similarities. Remember, we did the comparison between Joseph and the Messiah. It says, but when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And of course, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Praise the Lord. And it says, then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down to Egypt, died, he and our fathers, and was carried over into Sychem, and laid in the sepulcher, which Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Sichem. But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had swore to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. He didn't know him. Who's Joseph? I'm Pharaoh. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our father, so that they cast out their young children. To the end they might not live. Terrible. In which time Moses was born. This is who we're reading about, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. Remember Moses' parents, they're both Levites. Remember we read that last night? Mm-hmm. So Moses is a Levite, of course, and that's the priestly tribe, Levitical tribe. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him in her own as her own son. And Pharaoh's daughter is the one who named him Moses. Moses means drawn out of the water. Moses was learned, of course. There's only it goes real quick, you know, from one verse to the next. First, Moses is a little kid. The next verse, he's like full grown. Yeah. But, you know, of course, you got to make sure when you read the Bible, every single thing isn't told, but you have to sort of like put in the pieces there. But anyway, Moses was nourished by, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and mighty in word and in deed, words and in deeds. So he spoke Egyptian well. And when he was now hit from that verse to this verse, when he was full, all of a sudden he's 40 years old. It came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. So even though he's in Egypt, his heart's still with his brethren, you know, children of Israel. And seeing once of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brother would have understood how that God, by his hand, would deliver them. But they understood not. So here's Moses, like a type of Messiah, a deliverer, God sending him there to deliver him and Aaron. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, "Sirs, you are brethren, why do you wrong one to another?" But he that did his neighbor wrong, thrust him away, saying, Who made you a ruler or a judge over us? Oh, boy. Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Whoa. Then fled Moses, at that saying, was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begot two sons. Remember that? He married Zipporah, Midian's daughter, right? He had two sons. What was the name of the two sons? Gershom and who?
Oh, can't remember.
Anybody know? We'll have to look that up again.
Gershom's in the room.
Anybody on Pow Talk listening? The two sons?
What's the other son?
Okay, nobody knows. Oh, I'll have to look that up. Can anyone still hear me? Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, then fled Moses at that saying, was a stranger in the land of Midian. We had two sons, but and nobody knows who the two sons are. We know Gershom is one, but who's the other son? Come on, look that up. And when 40 years were expired, now Moses was 40, but now 40 more years are expired, there appeared unto him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is in Midian, which is by Arabia, according to the Bible. It's not in the Sinai Peninsula. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord. So here's the word of the Lord. Shows up in a flame of fire in a bush.
Eliezer.
Thank you, Eliezer. So Zipporah had two sons, right, by Moses. Mm-hmm. Zipporah is Midian's daughter. And Jethro's daughter. Jethro's, right. Jethro's daughter, who's a Midianite. And his name is also Ra'el, which means friend of God. And the two sons are Eliezer and
Gershom.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Gershom means I'm a stranger.
Praise the Lord. And Gershom means a stranger, yes. Gershom means a stranger. An Eliezer means what? Something about help, I bet. Look that up. Anyway, next verse, please. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him. The word of the Lord came right out of the fire, the word of the Lord. said, the word of the Lord says, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Oh, then Moses trembled and durst not behold. In other words, whoa. Could you imagine like going to a bush that's on fire and doesn't burn out? It just stays there burning, and then a voice comes out and says, I'm God. Take off your shoes from your feet. The place is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people. Oh, I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt. God actually could see your afflictions. Can you believe that? Don't think you're being afflicted by yourself. God can see your afflictions. And he also hears your groaning. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord. Give us a building. Give us a church, a congregation. Give us a house of God. We got 1 week left here. Hear our groanings and come down and deliver us. and now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, we don't want this Moses, man. He don't look like a person of God. He actually killed somebody. This is the one God, they refused, God sent him, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel, by the word of the Lord, which appeared unto him in the bush. Amen. That's another manifestation of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, which no one talks about anymore. All those wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, nobody talks about them anymore. Nobody teaches their children. And the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years, nobody talks about that no more. This is that Moses. This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear. Isn't it wonderful how Stephen is going, giving you a procession, a chronology of all this history? He knows the Bible so well. This is how you're supposed to know it. He says, this is he, Moses, which was in the church, this ecclesia, with the set apart ones in the wilderness, with the angel, the word of the Lord, which spake to him in Mount Sinai. Remember, they saw the God of Israel. Even the 70 elders saw the God of Israel. No one can see God, but they saw the word of the Lord, which is God, in another manifestation, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers, they still don't want to obey, but they thrust them away. It says, but they thrust him from them, and in their hearts, we want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to our old life. We miss those presents on Christmas. We miss Hanukkah, 8 days of presents. I miss all those made-up stories. You better not. Oh, saying unto Aaron, they said to Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, they're probably wondering, was there really a Moses? That's how delirious they was, which brought us out of the land of Egypt. We don't even know what happened to him. Did he really bring us out of Egypt? Was there really a Moses? Was there a Red Sea? Was there a Pharaoh? I don't even remember that. Make us gods. And they made a calf in those days, and they offered sacrifice unto an idol. Can you believe that? After God split the Red Sea and everything, and they rejoiced in the work of their own hands. Then God, because God says he'll send you a delusion, he turned them over to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the prophets. O you house of Israel, you have offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness. You have done this. Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Molech and the star of your God, Rephram, figures which you made to worship them. And because of that, I will carry you away beyond Babylon. And we've been dispersed all over the world. We're in the Galut. Everybody that's in the Messiah, everyone, you're in the Galut. If you're in America and around the world, we're in the exile because of our forefathers. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he would make it according to the fashion that he had seen. Moses couldn't just go make anything. He had to make it to the fashion that was showed him in the mount. Which also our fathers that came after brought in with Yeshua, unto the possession of the Gentiles, which God drave out from before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find the tabernacle for the God of Jacob. David wanted to build a house for God, but he had blood on his hands. So because of that, God said, Solomon built God a house. Mm-hmm. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. God says, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Imagine the earth is this his footstool. And saith the Lord, where is the place of my rest? God says, had not my hand made all these things? God's hand. I mean, God, it's done. And Stephen says to these Jews that he says, you stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, as did your fathers. So do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted and have slain them with this, which showed before the coming of the Just One, the Messiah, of whom you have been the betrayers and the murderers? You just killed the Messiah, who was foretold in the Scriptures, who have received the law, the Torah, by the disposition of angels, and you guys have not kept it. Even though in the Sabbath you heard about the Messiah, every Sabbath day you even fulfilled the Scriptures in condemning him. Now, when they heard this, they were really uptight at Stephen. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed upon him with their teeth. Ah! They're just so mad. But Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven. Hallelujah. And he saw the glory of God, and he saw Yeshua actually standing on the right hand of God. A lot of times in the Bible, you'll see the Son is sitting at the right hand of the Father. But here he is, he's standing as if waiting to receive him. Praise the Lord. And Stephen said, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man, that's foretold in the book of Daniel, standing on the right hand of God. Wow. When they heard, it says, they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears, and they ran upon him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city, and they stoned Stephen. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet. He was young at this time, and that person was Saul, who later was Paul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Yeshua, Adonai Yeshua, receive my spirit. Praise the Lord. Could you imagine seeing the Lord standing at the Father's right hand? You could say, receive my spirit. He probably didn't even feel the stones or nothing. I mean, look what it says right here. He just knelt down and he cried with a loud voice, saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. They're blind. And when he said this, Stephen fell asleep, but his spirit went to God who gave it. Praise the Lord. Receive my spirit. You know, and this is just a short study today. So I want you to remember to teach your children to talk of all God's deliverances as commanded in the Torah. Please remember that. Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourselves and keep thy soul diligently. You know why the word lest means in fear that. In fear that, lest thou forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Okay? Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb. Remember Horeb, the mount of God in Midian? When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words. God, was there ever a people that were like that, that they heard the word of God from heaven? They actually heard the voice of God. I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they may live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And I know a lot of us today haven't had a chance to teach our children because we didn't know, because our parents didn't know. But make sure from this point on, you teach your children about the deliverances of God and teach them in, there's many aspects of being delivered. There's many ways of being delivered, spiritual, physical. Tell people the truth. You're delivering them from darkness into the power of the living God. And I say Shabbat Shalom to everyone. Be like a Joseph. Be like a Moses. Be like the Messiah. Be a deliverer. God bless you and have a wonderful Sabbath afternoon. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Praise the Lord.